Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome back to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Emin and our favorite guest, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, to talk a little Indiana football. Yesterday used to be a big, big day with National Signing Day, the first Wednesday in February. Now it almost like it never existed. Indiana didn't make any waves yesterday, which was expected, as they had a big December signing period with their high school recruits and transfers. TJ, how are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, excited to be talking about 2024 class and then looking forward to 2025. A lot of impressive visitors on IU's campus here for the junior days that were recently passed. So I think a lot of excitement surrounding the program right now.
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Doing great. Ready to talk some football. So the biggest news, I think, whatever everybody, every IU football fan wants to know, when's Julian Lewis coming? Today, tomorrow, yesterday?
Well, he was on campus on Sunday, so he's already been to IU. As far as committing, I don't know. I mean, you know, Steve Wolfong talked to him, and it sounds like they, you know, they made a good impression. But obviously, you know, this is not just going to be an organic recruitment. There's obviously going to be some deals involved when you have a player of this caliber. So, you know, they're in the ring and they're taking swings. You know, we'll see what happens.
I mean, I asked that question kind of jokingly, but they do have a legit. Like, this is a legit recruitment, not him doing a favor to Coach Sinceri, who he has connections with?
No, I mean, if he was a local five-star kid and he had to drive 45 minutes, then maybe you'd say it's a favor. He had to come all the way up from Georgia, and it's on his own dime. So, you know, there's no official visits right now. So if a kid's coming that far, him and his family, and it's on their own dime, then I don't think that's a favor. Maybe it's a family where it's not, you know, making that kind of financial commitment. It's not a big deal, but still, to take that time to come all the way up here in February, early February, that tells me that there's sincere interest.
Awesome.
And if from a standpoint of the most likely scenario is he does not end up committing to IU, but even in that scenario, do you think it matters much? Just in terms of having that high profile of a quarterback in that class, do you think that there is a lot of benefit from a perception standpoint for Indiana's recruiting team to be able to kind of, you know, quote tweet the quotes from Julian Lewis, a player that a lot of the other 2025 guys know who he is, and be able to send that to them and say, look, this guy believes in what we're doing. You should too. Is there value in that, or is that overblown?
No, I think there is. I think that's a good point. I know sometimes you say getting a guy on campus and getting in the running for him is kind of like a moral victory. And this is a big deal. I mean, this kid was the number one player in the 26th class. He's really good. I mean, obviously, he's really, really good. And like I said, the fact that he came all the way up on his own. And he's got the relationship with Sinceri, but I mean, it takes more than that, in my opinion, for somebody to make that kind of take that time and effort to come from Georgia to Bloomington. So, I think there is you even if you don't get him, and if you're not going to get him, it might be better if he waits longer so that you can kind of play it up more. I guess if he commits somewhere else, it's hard to play it up. But the fact that you got a kid like that on campus should be an eye opener. For other recruits when they're talking to them.
Yeah, let's put a bow on the 2024 class, Matt. Obviously did not sign anybody on Wednesday, had their class put together. Do you see them adding people after spring practice or when that second portal window opens? I believe in May.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I know Coach Cincinnati touched on it on yesterday in the Zoom call. I think he mentioned DB. I think the focus is going to be on defense. I mean, I don't see anywhere where you really need to add on offense. Obviously not quarterback, running back for sure, no. Receiver, no. O-line looks pretty solid. Tight end the same. I think D-line, and more specifically D-tackle. Although I mean, if there's a good edge guy out there, obviously you're not going to turn him away. You can never have too many pass rushers. I think linebacker's probably okay. And then he mentioned safety. I think corner's a position where I like the depth. But safety, you maybe if you could add another guy, I don't think it's critical. But if you could add another safety, that'd be great. I think D tackle, to me, of all the position groups, D tackle is my biggest concern going into the season. I think they got some guys that can play, but you've got to have more than just two or three. You've got to have five or six. I'm not saying they don't have five or six. I just don't think we know enough to say that they do.
Yeah, I think Cignetti said that Vincent Snead, James Carpenter, the transfer from JMU, and Linnell Carr were going to be out for spring practice. You know, is this an opportunity? Do they actually have the guys on the defensive line to actually have the opportunity to give them the repetitions? Because it is a th it was a thin position before, but with having three guys out for those postseason surgeries. You know, just how thin is this defensive line going into spring ball?
Well, to me, D tackle is the thinner one. I mean, at edge, I mean, I'm just looking at my roster here. You'll have the one guy who won't be here in the spring is, I'm going to try to say it, William DePepe from over there in Illinois. I'm probably butchering that last name. But everybody else on here, so that'll be seven guys. Trey Lane's one guy I'm not sure about. He didn't mention him. But I wouldn't be as far as being limited. But this is a chance to get if Jacob Mangum Farrar is at what do they call it, the stud position, like I think he will be, then he'll get valuable reps. Kamara knows the position. You don't have to see Tadarius Collins. There's another guy Ndukwe, the freshman who's coming in. So there is a silver lining here because you'll get guys that D tackle Mario Landino, Jamari Monet. Robbie Harrison. There's three guys who have basically not, well, Landino's obviously never played. He's coming from high school. The other two have almost no playing experience. So that's valuable reps for them. But obviously, obviously when guys miss, it's not ideal. But the benefit is in spring ball, like he said, you're not preparing for a game. There's no wins or losses. And this is about player development. James Carpenter, he knows what he's doing. Linnell Carr, it's a new defense, but I mean, I don't think a lot's going to change for him. It does benefit the younger guys, but obviously it does show how thin the depth is. Like I said, especially D tackle.
Turning to the 2025 class, which has slowly begun to get formed here, impressive list of junior day visitors as IU has had over the past few weekends. Setting aside Julian Lewis, a lot of really good, four star, a lot of high three star guys, but more importantly, players that have really good offer lists. A lot of good programs are after the guys that Indiana was able to get on campus, and they also landed a couple of commitments along the offensive line. So, two-part question: what did you take from what you heard from guys from those junior day visits? And then, is Indiana going to be done on the offensive line relatively soon? I would expect maybe four guys you're taking total, and Indiana's already lined up a couple of those. So, offensive line, good start there.
Yeah, I mean everything I'm hearing. I mean, and it's not just the guys that I'm talking to. I mean, I know Steve Wolfong has talked to some, and you've just seen tweets and stuff. The staff is making a really good impression on players at these junior days, which is to be expected. I mean, let's be, I'll be honest. You don't usually have guys who have a bad experience on these visits because they get even on an unofficial because you get, you still get the full red carpet treatment. But they've done a good job. You can tell the staff knows what they're doing. Obviously, they've never recruited really at this level, but they, you know, if you can recruit and you can build relationships, it's just like, I've never really done sales, but I mean, if you're a good salesman, you're a good salesman, whether you're selling widgets or Lamborghinis, you know what I mean? It's obviously a different level, but you know, if you can sell, if you can be a people person and you can sell what your vision is, then you can be successful. And I think these guys, and obviously Cignetti's a guy that really, I mean, the fans, we're seeing it as fans. I mean, his personality, his confidence, this word gets overused, his swagger. For a guy is 60-something years old, he's got swagger. He really does. And it's kind of refreshing because we've never really had that, at least in my time covering Indiana football. Kevin Wilson had it to a degree. He didn't have the track record that Cignetti had when he came in as far as a head coach. So, you know, as far as the O-line, you know, my guess is at least four, TJ. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I mean, it's hard, so hard anymore. It used to be I could give you a number. Like, I could look at the roster and say, okay, they got four seniors. They're going to take at least four. You just don't know. I mean, after spring ball, there could be some O-linemen who decide, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm not saying there's going to be a large number, but there may be some guys just like, okay, I'm not going to play. Or after the 24 season, you know, guys who are senior juniors this upcoming season, redshirt juniors who could graduate. And I'm not saying these guys will, but like a Noah Boltikoff, he hasn't played much yet. I hope hope he doesn't leave because he could be the next guy. Vinny Fiacable, Cooper Jones, they're all going to be seniors. They haven't played a ton. Now, if they wait around, I think they got a good shot to play in 25 if they're not playing this year. But you just don't know. In today's day and age, guys, patience is not something that a lot of people have. So, you know, I know they love Isaac Soles Jr. I'd be shocked if he's not a take, even if they would take one more interior guy. And right now it looks like they've got two interior guys in Evan Parker and Matt Merrick. Soles is for sure an inside. In fact, I think he's probably a center for them. I just messaged with Jaden Clark last night. He had a great time this past weekend. I think he's from out of Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. But I think at least I wouldn't be surprised to see five. Six is a lot just because you can't play six linemen. If they're all in the same class, you know, somebody's kind of the odd man out. But you never know. I mean, I'm still learning this staff, but I think my guess is five. If I had a gun to my head, I would say five old linemen from the high school ranks, but we'll see. I think, like you said, four for sure. But another one or two wouldn't shock me.
Makes me feel old that Isaac Soles' son is now being recruited to play at IU. His senior season was my freshman season at IU. So I know that makes Matt feel ancient. But it's good to see some of these legacy players who have come through IU and have kids, and just see his excitement about being in Bloomington and seeing the school where his dad played in the program and all those things.
Especially when they're good. I mean, he's got that's a legitimate player. He's not somebody they're pursuing just because, oh yeah, his dad went to IU. You know, no, he's got some really good offers. Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, you know, really good schools that want him as well. So it's encouraging that Indiana's in with the good chance of him.
Yeah, you look at a guy like Tyler Cherry, too. I believe he has strong family ties to IU and things like that. So it's good to see. Matt, let's talk about the recruiting staff. And we bring back old friend Matt Wilson, who's coming back from NC State. What does he bring that was kind of missing the last couple of years in this recruiting department?
Well, I'm not sure if there was anything missing. I thought Steve Ruzek is a talented guy, and I thought he was a good hire. He's only here for a year. Lee Wheelbanks was there before him. The recruiting department's important, but everybody, it all starts at the top with the head coach. And I think, you know, Cignetti, and he has a clear vision of what he's looking for, a plan. I don't think they're going to deviate from that. Matt is, you know, I mean, obviously I'm friends with him, so I'm biased, but he's really good. And you see it where he's gone. Wherever he goes, they get good recruiting classes. And he's done a really good job at different places. I mean, when he was in Indiana, he was part of some of those classes where they brought in guys like Feeney and some of those that aren't, I shouldn't say Feeney, guys after him who got drafted in the NFL. Five to seven guys. I think I was talking to him about this after he came in. And if you count Penix, which I think you can because they did bring him to Indiana. I mean, I know they didn't get him to the NFL, but he was a guy they recruited. He's an NFL player. You know, he's a good identifying talent. he's got a great background. He's been in a lot of good places. He's been under a lot of really good coaches. And, you know, I think this was in today's day and age, with NIL and portal, you need, you know, somebody asked yesterday, it's almost like an NFL setup with the GM. I mean, I think they have like a director of personnel for offense, a director of personnel for defense, a director of scouting. I mean, this is like an NFL front office, and you know, Matt's experience, and he's been around, and he knows what he's doing. And he's really good at identifying players. And that's what these guys do. They're the initial set of eyes, because obviously coaches don't have time to watch all of this film. I mean, they watch a lot of film, but this, you know, they have to coach and they have to do other things. And this is what Matt and his staff do. They watch film, they evaluate, and then they kind of, you know, get a pool of players, and then they go from there. So I think recruiting, I mean, listen, recruiting was not the problem under Tom Allen. I mean, there were some misses, and, you know, I think the bigger issue was development, and, you know, maybe at some positions, not really have a clear plan, quarterback being one of what you were trying to do, you know, kind of a hodgepodge of guys.
Yeah.
I don't think recruiting was the biggest issue under the previous staff. I thought they did a solid job recruiting, but it was getting the right pieces and developing them the proper way that I think did them in, among other things. But as far as that part, I thought that's what did him in. I think recruiting will continue. And, you know, I know Cignetti said he doesn't pay attention to stars. They've offered a lot of really good players who have good ratings. But I do think, you know, like Matt Merrick, he was the first commit in the class. My guess would have been, I think I put on the board Evan Parker. I didn't even know Matt Merrick was visiting. He was one of those. And that you have that on junior days where, you know, you'll get some names. And there's always a surprise or two. And some guys that you thought were coming don't come. It's always happens on junior days. I didn't have him as a visitor on that junior day. He gets offered and he commits. And, you know, if you look at his offer list, look at Evan Parker's offer list, not crazy impressive. And I'm not saying I have blind faith in Bob Bostad, but I have a lot of faith in Bob Bostad. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what he wants, and he knows what he can develop. So, you know, while they may have MAC offers, I think these guys will both turn out to be pretty good players.
There's also Coach Cignetti has mentioned multiple times about that 4-hour radius and getting guys in that 4-hour radius to IU and the bordering states of Ohio, Illinois, getting into St. Louis a little bit and down south. How important is that semi-local recruiting? Because there are some great players in that Chicagoland area. In Ohio is one of the hot, you know, recruiting hotbeds that IU historically has had good success in with players. You know, is that the focus of this staff, is to recruit that 4-hour radius and then out for other players?
Yeah, and that's, and like he said, it doesn't matter if you're at Indiana or Alabama or Idaho. I think, I remember the schools he mentioned, but you want to recruit your state well, and you're the state school. You know, and it's not that the previous staff didn't recruit. I know people were down, but I mean, they just, you know, I think when they started going downhill, it kind of went sideways within state recruits. And let's be honest, Indiana football in this state among high school players for a long time has kind of been of a joke. I mean, it has. They've kind of looked down their nose at the program, rightly or wrongly. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And, you know, that's what Cignetti said. He said it when guys came in, when families came in for visits, the first thing he said is erase whatever you think about Indiana football because it's different. Now they've got to go out and prove that. You know, you can say that, but you got to go out and prove it. I think they're going to be successful, like he said. But that's the thing. He said we got to change perception. And my guess is, you know, I always remember previous staff would tell me the perception of Indiana, like Florida and Georgia, is way better. I shouldn't say way better, but better a lot of times than it was, you know, within an hour of Bloomington or an hour and a half. And I think it's because down there they see Big Ten school, Indiana. It's obviously a good academic school. There's a lot of positives. Up here, people are like, oh, Indiana, you know, they're terrible in football. They've been terrible. So, you know, changing that perception, you know, they're you know, it's going to take time. I think getting Tyler Cherry is huge. I think that was huge. Because, you know, he was a top player, but he was one of the top players in the state, and he's a quarterback. He plays the marquee position, and he comes from arguably the best program in the state at Center Grove. If not the best, it's in the top two or three. So I think in getting a guy like that, his brother, who I've communicated with, Kobe, who's a 2026, unbelievable kid, really good baseball player. And he's, you know, he loves IU, loves, and obviously his brother's there, but I mean, it's, you know, you still got to sell him. And, you know, getting guys like that at those kind of programs, thumping the chest of the Indiana program, you know, beating the drum for them, that's huge. And that's what it's going to take. But it's at the end of the day, and I say it every year, you got to get wins. You got to show it on the field. You got to put a product that only is successful, but kids are drawn to, they want to play in. You know what I mean? That's they have fun playing in it, and then it also exposes them to people at the next level, so they have a shot to possibly play professionally.
Yeah. Quick aside on Kobe Cherry. Looking at pictures of him, it is very difficult to believe that that kid is in the class of 2026. He does not look like a kid at all. You know, some guys you see and they've, you know, still got baby face and all that. That's not him. But shifting quickly to kind of the strength program, which is what Indiana's dealing with right now, you know, before spring ball, Derek Owings recently on Under the Hood with Rhett Lewis. It's great watch for everybody interested in his process. But what have you heard or learned about Rhett Lewis or about Derek Owings, either from interactions with players or other staff members, or just what you've read and seen from him as Indiana's new strength program, a possibly different approach? It seems like there's a different emphasis on certain things from Owings as there was from Wellman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard that one guy that I have a ton of respect for him is at Indiana's in Alabama now is Dave Ballou. I've heard that Ballou gave his stamp of approval. That I don't think Ballou and Derek Owings have a personal relationship, but that's kind of, you know, that's one of those things where you kind of know other people. It's a small fraternity, strength coaches. And from what I've heard, Ballou has said the guy's the real deal. He's really good. You know, so that rings big for me. I know a guy in Bloomington who's really into strength conditioning. He traveled around. In fact, I think he's done presentations or seminars or whatever you want to call it, even for IU. And he's told me good things about Derek Owings too. So, you know, I mean, obviously the proof will be in the pudding. I had serious, I think we all did. We all had, you know, doubts about the previous strength program because we saw it. I mean, you know, Idaho or whoever it was, or, you know, Akron should not come in here and physically whip a Big Ten team. You know, they may have some skill guys, but they should not physically beat you up front. And that's what happened. They got physically beat by teams that they should not have been getting physically whipped by. And it was alarming, and we saw it for the last, you know, however many years, and it just didn't seem to get any better. So to me, I've always said it, after your head coach is obviously the most important guy in the program, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and strength coach are like 1A, 1B, and 1C. I think the strength coach is almost as important as the coordinators, and I know people think that's crazy, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how good your X's and O's are, if you don't have the dudes who can run and tackle and are physical and are strong and everything you need to be, it doesn't matter. They always say it's not about the Jimmys and the Joes, not about the X's and O's, it's about the Jimmys and the Joes. And Derek Owings is responsible for developing those guys. So, you know, it sounds like, you know, I mean, personally, he's been around a really long time. He's been around some really good programs, and he loves Owings. He doesn't, you know, he leaves him to do his thing. That's what I loved about it's kind of off topic. You know, one of the things you kind of heard about the previous staff is a little bit of micromanaging. Mm-hmm. You know, with Cignetti, he's an old school guy. I think he believes that I hire my guys, I tell them what they need to do, and I let them do it. If they don't do it, my guess is changes will be made if they need to be made. But, you know, I think that's how it should be. He says, I coach the coaches. He lets them coach the players. And, you know, with Owings, he leaves them alone. And I think we're going to see the fruits of the labor of Derek Owings and his staff this fall.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it wasn't just the strength side, it was speed. Yeah. There was a distinct lack of explosion and speed for Indiana over the past couple of seasons. And, I, you know, cursing that he mentioned this. He knows what the speed numbers were of the previous regime, I think is how he put it. And he seemed, as he typically has been, he seemed very confident that those numbers would be surpassed quite quickly under Derek Owings. I think there was a quote from Derek Owings that he wanted to make Indiana the something about the most explosive and violent team in the country, which every football coach is probably has the same feelings, right? Those are good things for the sport of football. That's obvious. But there did seem to be an emphasis on kind of that functional strength and explosive speed that did remind me quite a bit of Dave Ballou and Dr. Tim Ray.
Matt Ray.
Yeah, I got the doctor part right, at least.
You did.
I mean, he never let us forget that. I had that ingrained.
Yeah.
But it reminded me a lot of that particular strength regime under Tom Allen, which was, you know, the height of that coaching era. So as we turn back to the class of 2025, what's next? What is next? And we're not talking in terms of, oh, who's the next to commit? You know, if you had that type of foresight, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You'd be playing the lottery and gambling. But just in terms of strategy, visits, that type of thing, what do you expect to be next for the 2025 class?
Well, there's a dead period now that started on Monday, which is this has always been a dead period right before, you know, this used to be, obviously, you guys mentioned, this used to be the one signing day. Now it's anticlimactic. I mean, I remember working late in the hours of February. Now on Tuesday night, I wasn't even looking at recruiting because I knew nobody was signing. So I would assume there'll be some more when they start practice. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sammy. 21st of March, the Thursday.
Yeah.
So obviously you're probably not going to have, unless it's a spring break for guys, I would assume the Saturdays will be visit days. Maybe you'll have some kind of like a junior day on some of those Saturdays. I would think you're going to try to get as many guys as you can, even though it's a Thursday night, just probably because hopefully they're going to be doing some cool things. I know me and Sammy always talk about this. I'm sure you guys talk about it, trying to make it an event, do things that, you know, is good for families and kids and fans. Hopefully it's a great night weather-wise. You never know in April in Indiana, but I would think you might have some guys there, but I would assume there'll be visitors there at these practices. And then, like I said, on the weekends, probably bigger groups of visitors because obviously it's easier to bring guys come in on a Saturday than it is during the week with, you know, with them in school and everything. That's kind of where they're at. I was talking to somebody, a fellow IU fan, and I made the prediction. I won't, and I may be way off on this. I won't be shocked if IU goes into June with 10 commits, which I don't think's ever happened. I won't be shocked. And I'm not saying I know who the next eight guys are going to be. I just think this staff is really aggressive. And I think they could have 10 commits. Now, I threw out that number. Maybe it's 7. Maybe it's 8. But, I mean, I'm trying to remember going into June. I don't know if they've ever had more than, like, 3 or 4. I also may be wrong on that. I have to go back and look. Usually June is the month because you have official visits. That's when you get the run on commits. But I could see this staff, especially coming out of spring ball, you know, getting 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 commits between now and the middle of, what's the spring game? April 18th. So a little bit past the middle of April.
At what point do you stop taking recruits to basketball games? At what point does that become a detriment?
They could have. I mean, I'm not saying they could have, but it was interesting to me that there was a basketball game on Saturday, the 3rd, and they did the junior day the next day on Sunday. Now, part of it also might have been they had a huge group, and it probably would have been tough to get tickets for 40 plus family. So you're probably pushing 100 tickets. You know what I mean? If they had around 40 guys, you know, even if, you know, that's at least probably 75 to 80 tickets and maybe closer to 100, that probably would have been tough to do. So, you know, that may be part of the reason. And Sunday was obviously a slower day on campus as far as bringing guys in and parking's not an issue. I'm not sure I'd take guys to to basketball games right now.
Men's basketball. You bring them to IU women against Iowa. and show them what good basketball is like. But Matt, thanks for joining us today. Hopefully the spring game, look, it's a roll of the dice of the weather in April in Indiana. I'm glad that they made it a part of the Little 500 weekend. It's a great kickoff to Little 5. If you want to brand that, hopefully IU people are listening. You know, kick off Little 5 with the IU spring game and things like that. And then we roll
bring
into
back Hoosier Village.
Bring
my
back
kids loved it. I'm selfish. My kids loved it. But I mean, I never understood why that went away. I'm not sure, but bring that back and do it at the spring game. Set up something in the south end of the stadium.
Yep.
Out there in the grass. Yeah. Bring back the Hoosier Village. I thought it was awesome.
Heard there was a crazy person from Carmel dunking on his kids and they had to close it. Thanks for joining us, Matt. You could follow Matt on Pegs.com. He does wonderful things with recruiting and answering questions on his message boards and all that stuff. You can follow us at Hoosier underscore huddle on Twitter. And final thoughts, TJ.
Yeah, it's probably best if we don't get into a basketball conversation. I think what has been really cool to look at is and really feel is the positive energy and momentum that the program has right now. You feel it from the visits, you feel it from the fan base. It's a exciting time. And for those of us that have covered IU football or followed it in any capacity, we're dying for anything positive. So we might be kind of biased in this with how much fun it potentially could be. But I'm looking forward to getting into spring practice and kind of getting a feel for these coaches at work on the field. I think that's going to be a really fun side story of spring practice is just being able to see the coaches interact with the players in any capacity and see how this new staff operates.
Yep. Only 13 spring practices this year for IU. We'll get into Coach Cignetti's philosophy on spring practice at a later date and all that stuff. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier underscore huddle and come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news. Again, thanks for joining us and have a great evening.